Okay, sorry about the delay. Reish Samach Ches. Let's try and understand a bit more about this unique mission that we've been given, the Shlichus. Because that's the tool or the understanding we're going to use in order to get through the day. Okay. Trying to find out. Let's go from this. I don't know if we did this. I don't know where we are.
Up to you.
We did this?
No.
That's where we haven't done that. Okay. Yaseirim is more than this. Shlichus zu enu shlichus klali. This mission that you've been given is not a general mission. It's personal and it's unique for each and every person. Kol yehudi hu olam mole. Each Jew is a total universe. Bishvilo nivra olam. We spend much time in the beginning of the Sefer discussing what that means. Bishvilo nivra olam. Bishvili nivra olam. It's created for him. For him. In order that he can withstand the tests of life. And he can fulfill his mission in this world. This is not some side issue, some small, It has an enormous impact, as we'll explain. In some specific aspect, this world is not going to come to its final fruition without the portion of that Jew, without him withstanding that Nisoyim. Kol ha'doyres shelofonov. You have to chap this because it's too big usually to chap this. All the generations that came before, a voice of skeinov, v'chein ha'doyres shelifneim, acharonim, rishonim, ga'onim, amoroim, tanoim, nevim, ad Moshe Rabbeinu v'Avram Avinu, kulam oimdim, metzapim, everybody standing there in the stands, everybody, all the way back from your parents, your grandparents, your great-grands, all the way back to Avram Avinu, standing there waiting, anticipating and rooting for you that you'll be able to accept the Yisurim Ba'av, that you'll be able to accept this test. Because the entire existence of the universe depends on that in some aspect. This gives a person enormous confidence, enormous strength to withstand the test that he has to withstand, no matter what. No one can fulfill my mission in the world. Gam leMoshe Rabbeinu b'chvoido v'atzmoy lo miyad atafkid sheli. Not Moshe Rabbeinu, nobody can fulfill my mission. Rak ani toch kedei his gabrus al nisoinai eises tafkido mevevs kol olam al tikun. Only me, with me withstanding my nisoinus, can fulfill my mission in the world and bring the world to its final fruition. Not even Moshe Rabbeinu could say, you know what? I'll take over. I'll do your job for you. You go back to bed. Kulo yochol. Kulo yochol. Chelek gadol ma'at'an harikshi v'regoshot hamerirut she'adam chash v'chayev. A big portion of the negative feelings, the bitter feelings that a person has in his life. It's just not going for me. I'm not matzliach. Why is it not going for him? Because a certain benchmark of what good life would be, and he's not getting there. this ideal existence that he had in mind for himself. It's not happening.
If you're
looking for excuses to be miserable, plenty, no shortage. Life will kick up lots of things for you that will make you feel as lo lechli. Lo lechli. Plenty difficulties, problems, nisoinus, curved balls that life is going to throw at you that will help you very well if you want to be miserable. No shortage of excuses. We meet people like this. They will always find the negative. They'll always find something wrong. No matter how good things are going, they'll find something wrong. You know people like that. We're talking about a generation that we have no concept of. I mean, they stood at Har Sinai. We're talking about people that stood at Har Sinai. Have you ever got to sat down for 5 minutes, understood what that must look like? They've stood at Har Sinai. Some idea of what that means, what that looks like. So we have no idea what we're talking about. The Torah tells us things about this generation. One of the things, we have a mitzvah every day to remember this, like you have a mitzvah to remember standing at Har Sinai. Remember how you angered Hashem in the Midbar. They're not talking to me. What's it going to do with me? Why do I have to remember every day what somebody else angered Hashem in the Midbar? I didn't anger Hashem in the Midbar. Well, why do I have to remember? What do I get from remembering that somebody else was not talking to me? This person is going to do with me. They're not talking to me because I didn't anger Hashem in the Midbar. You angered Hashem in the Midbar? I don't remember anger Hashem in the Midbar. I wasn't there. Yeah, you're the Shaman. No. I need to manage this possible. You're going to have to go to the Bela. So we can skip this possible. You can go weiter, right? Mm-hmm. No, you have a chiv to remember this every day. Why? What's the benefit of me remembering that somebody else angered Hashem in the Midbar and pretending it was me? That's what it says. So what is Hashem? Stop this Shaman in the Midbar. Remember that you angered Hashem in the Midbar. You remember angering Hashem in the Midbar? I don't remember. If I did, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry if I did. I didn't know that I was doing anything wrong. Fighter, what have to remember it every day? Strange one. And we say it every day. We remember this every day. But we can go to Lil Mad Mikasha and say this. What is Boko the Bible? But do I learn any scoring and say, Tommy, do I have to keep remembering it? You know, vision is by me, living around safe from Makadosh. That's very Makadosh. There's that number 10 again, eh? 10 mamorois, 10 makas, 10 dibrois, and 10 nisoinus that Klal Yisrael tested Hashem in the Midbar. And as we know, the Torah is not a history book. What happened in the Midbar is not a history book. We need to know about it. We have to learn halacha l'maisa, practical for us. Everybody's going to go through the 10 tests that Avraham Avinu went through, and everyone's going to go through in some aspect the 10 tests that he's tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar. Because we're going to go through these tests, we need to learn from the Torah how you deal with these tests. We very often, some people less, some people more, but everybody has a taste of the misoinanim. כשאנו מזמרים על הנוגס השם כלפינו. We also complain to Hashem when things are not going the way I really want them to be. Hashem conducts my life in a way that I don't want. So we have our goshes of, what's this happening to me? I don't want this. What's Hashem doing? Can't he get it right once in a while? You have to go learn the parsha of the Misoinanim. Go have a look what's going on there and straighten out your ways. You have to recognize that you have sheikhs to that event. It was a heavy event because we see that the Torah couldn't even put that together with the parsha of us leaving our Sinai. The way we left our Sinai wasn't so positive. We left our Sinai in a very bad way. The Torah has to write a whole new sefer. There's a whole new sefer in the Chumash, separated by two inverted nuns, to separate the misoinanim for the way we left, because you just can't have those two together. There's just too much negativity there to have them together. You have to separate them. So the misoinanim was a serious event. And we walk around with some of that inside of us. We need to learn and identify and deal with it. Let's go back to what we're really dealing with here. When a person recognizes that he's a shliach of Hashem, and he has a unique mission, Hashem's given you everything you need to fulfill that mission. He can never say, I'm not being matzliach. I don't know what I'm doing here. There's no such thing. Al Adam lachshov davka ois in the kudus shelo hoichos sham tomen miloi tafkido ayichidoi. It's davka in the place where you feel you're not being successful, where you feel you're failing, where things are falling. But davka there, that's where you're fulfilling your unique mission. Ubakach ani mevatzeh shlichusay anemono. In kol akoshi akroch bo, with all the difficulties involved in that, because that thing you're struggling with, that's your mission statement. You might have thought it was something else. You might have wanted to do something else today, but Hashem generally gets his own way. Anadam laharim, dafka hanisoinas hayim mufadim oivim alai. Dafka the unique nisoinas I'm going through. That's where the investment is. That's where it's happening. Yesh kan mokon ubikalit gedibu. Zu tafkido yichido alay admois. Tafkid she'af achad bo'ilam ma'ana merishin ba'ad ha-mashiach lo yicholo malo'oto. That's why I'm in this world, for this. That's why I'm here. And you can bring all the greats that came before and are going to come after. No one can do this except me. Eina dover tolu ele bi. Hashem, Elokai neshoma shenasoto bi, bi, v'nachav. No one else. Me. It's my unique mission. And it's dafka where you're struggling. It's dafka where you and Hashem are not seeing eye to eye, so to speak. Elo pashut. They avoid a kashen. You have to practice all the time. Sorry? B'chor. Well, we have a problem. First, we have to understand that sugya. How did Levin take the job of the B'chor? How did Yosef take over the B'chor from Reuven? If you have a B'chor in the family and he dies, God forbid, who becomes the B'chor?
No one.
The B'chor is the firstborn. You can't have another firstborn. Understand what that means. But I'll tell you, we need to understand that sugya, and it's a critically important sugya to understand. You know why? Because B'nei B'chori Yisrael, you're a B'chor. Yaakov and Esau are fighting over what? The B'chorim. And we are B'chorim. We all have to be B'chorim. We have to understand what it means to be a B'chor. It's not such a posh thing to believe that you're a B'chor. When you understand what it is, you may have wished you never heard it. You may have wished that you hadn't heard what it means to be a B'chor. The Maharal says that a Bechor is somebody who is not influenced by anybody else in the family because he's the firstborn. Who is Adam HaRishon influenced by? No one. Yeah, okay. Before his wife. Before his wife. Himself, because he was Rishon. Rishon means he's alone. Bechor. A Bechor comes into your family. There's no brothers and sisters to learn from. So he carves his own path. The offshoot of that Maharal is whenever you're doing something because somebody else is doing it, even a good thing, it's great. Bnei Bechori Yisrael means you have to be a Bechor.
Sorry.
You have to be super independent, Torah-tuned independent, of course. If you're doing a good thing that other people are doing, that's fine. But not because they're doing it. Because if you're doing a good thing because other people are doing it, you'll start doing bad things because other people are doing it. You have to do it because it's true, because our MS, the Bnei Shehu MS. So let's just see this in the Torah. It's delicious. Reuben was the Bechor. Reuben did an Aveira. Because of that, he lost the Bechor. First of all, why did he lose the Bechor? What did he do? What was the Aveira that caused him to lose the Bechor? And afterwards, he did Tshuva. Why didn't he get it back? Why didn't he get it back? You did Tshuva, you go back to where you were before. So what did he do? That's understanding of what it means to be a Bechor. What did he do? He went and he moved the bed. No one else was moving beds. He was the only one that did it. So what was the problem? If someone else moved the bed and then he went and moved the bed, the same, I understand. But he wasn't influenced by anybody else. He was doing what he thought was right. But why did he lose the Bechor because of that? And second of all, why did he get it back? He did Tshuva. So get it back. So we'll answer the second question first. Where did Reuven learn to do tshuva from? In the Sofer, in the Brochas, when the Brochas have been given, you notice that Yehuda comes before Reuven. Rashi picks this up. There's a problem with the order of the Pesukim. Reuven should have come before Yehuda, says Rashi, because Yehuda that taught Reuven how to do tshuva. He didn't do tshuva from his own inner world. He did tshuva because somebody else. So you did tshuva, but you don't get the Bechor back because that's the kud of Bechor you've lost. And you never got it back when you did tshuva because you didn't tshuva because someone else. Now, how did he lose the Bechor? It goes even deeper. Even if you're not being influenced by somebody else, but you're being driven by your own emotions without seichel, that's also a chosorin of Bechor. Because Reuven, what did he do? He acted impulsively. You can't be a Bechor either if you're acting impulsively. Bechor has to be leading with his seichel, not with his emotions. The emotions are just as bad as doing what somebody else is doing. You're doing it because he's doing it. You're doing it because you feel that's right. If you feel it's right, don't do it. Check it with your seichel first. Don't follow your feelings. Follow your seichel. Feelings will lead you very, very far astray. You have to lead with the seichel. That's where Reuven went wrong. And how did he get it back? Because he didn't do tshuva, because he did tshuva. You see it right in the beginning with Cain and Hevel. Hevel brought a korban and he got killed because of it. And the Mephoshim all asked, Shliach mitzvah in Kokin, your harm can't come to somebody who's doing a mitzvah. He's doing a mitzvah. How did he get killed for bringing a korban? He was doing a mitzvah. You can't get harmed when you're doing a mitzvah. I can't remember who it is. He says it's in the posuk. The posuk tells you what. It says, Vahevel levi korban v'gam. Sorry, the Kain heavy korban, the gum hevel heavy korban. The gum, that's where the problem was. You're not bringing a korban, you want to bring a korban. You bring a korban because somebody else is bringing a korban. You don't have the shmira of a shliach mitzvah anymore. I can't remember who said this. One of the Gedolim of Fortune says it. I can't remember who. You see the problem? You bring a korban because he's bringing a korban, Treif. But I'm doing a mitzvah. How can I get hurt? Nishkin mitzvah. Yeah, not so simple to live like that.
It's kind of rugged individualism, which it sounds like, seen encountered with a Masorah, ask your Rav, ask Dr. Torah, always ask somebody up the food chain.
So let's see how that works. Excellent question. First of all, I said it's got to be Torah-tuned individualism. Can't be Ma, whatever I think. It has to be Torah-tuned. Now, how do you know what the Torah says? I don't. The God is somebody who does. That's why you ask a Rav, and that's why you ask us Torah. Because I want to do what the Torah says. But if you've got a Rav telling you what to do all the time, find another Rav. The rope's there to build you and allow you to express your individuality in a Torah-tuned way. His job's not there to remote control your life. That's the problem with all the shinuch svarim and with all these remote control svarim. If he says this, you say this. If she says that, you do that. The Shalom Bayis svarim and the shinuch svarim, that's all the problem with all of those svarim. They're not designed to build you. They're designed to tell you what to do because that's what we do. Well, that's not what I want. I have to find it within myself. Torah tuned, though. That's why you go ask a shad, because I don't know what the Torah wants from me. When he tells you what the Torah wants from you know. Now go do it in your own unique, special way. And you see that in the Gedolim. You see that in the Gedolim. It's counterintuitive. You would expect that the more people grew and learned Torah, the more they'd look identical. Yeah? The people that aren't so involved in Torah would be these rabid individuals, and the Gedolim would all be Yoteh Pachot the same. You notice Rashi and Tosfos don't agree on too much. Gedolei Yisrael very rarely agree on anything. Rabbi Moshe and Rabbi Aaron could barely talk to each other. Shlomo Kotter told me that he heard from his father that when the Satmar Rebbe used to come to Rabbi Aaron, the screams were so loud they thought the roof was going to fall off. Mutual respect and love for each other, 100%. It was Kula Torah, but they all saw the Torah differently. Slobodka was renowned for that. The altar of Slobodka, any imitation in Slobodka was mamish straight the gambit. He built rabid individuals. Torah tuned, rabid individuals. Yeah, that's always the danger. The danger when the Nevuah came to an end and we moved into what's called Chochmah, when we moved into Talmud, that was the danger. Now you can have Tzukim and Baitusim and reformers, and now you can do whatever you want with the Torah because it's all my individual perspective. And you can go very, very wrong. Very, very wrong. When there's Nevuah, you couldn't go wrong because there was Nevuah. You could have a false Navi, but you couldn't go wrong because there was Nevuah. The minute Nevuah stopped and we walked into the world of Chochm Adif Minavi, what's the danger? With my Chochmah, I can come to very, very far away places. And it happened. There were Tairach, who was the greatest of the great. The greatest of the great. Sadi Katamai Yifrach, he spoke Tavis, Tairach. There's a Makor, I haven't seen it inside, but apparently there's a Makor, the Mashiach comes. Tairach is going to be the Rizal. Tairach is going to be the Kohen Gadol. That's how great he was. But you know how wrong you can go? You couldn't get further wrong than Tairach with your. That's the danger we have. It's a danger we're always going to have. There's always going to be some pretender claiming to have the truth. That's why you need Mesoiras. You know where you see this? I'll show you the most beautiful expression of this. You daven Shmona Esrei every morning. And we say, Elokeinu ve'elokei avoseinu. Ever bothered you the order? Not right. The first bit, Elokei avoseinu ve'el Elokeinu. You start with your father's God and then you get it. In Shira Sayam, we say, Zekeli van Veyu, Elokei Aviv. It's the wrong way. First, Mikael Aviv, and then my God. You get it from your father, and then you get it. What's Pshat? Pshat is not. First has to be your God. First has to be your personal, unique relationship that you build with God. Zekeli, my God. And then you go over your shoulder and make sure you've got the right guy. So what if it's my God and I don't have to worry about my personal individual relationship with God? What I need to look heavy for to make sure that it's the right. We're not looking for new gods. So you have to go and build that unique relationship and keep checking it's the right one. That's why you need to ask Shalas and Masoira and check with your rabbis. We're not looking for something new here. We're looking for something unique. And it's going to be your expression. But of course, it has to be able to stand the test of MS. The Torah is a benchmark of MS. I don't know. So you ask the Daily Israel because they know what the MS is. And you'll find many people that will learn. They'll learn this safe and that safe and they'll come to conclusions. And it's written in the safe and they couldn't be more wrong. They couldn't be further from Yiddishkeit. And they're doing everything they're doing in the name of Torah and religion and they couldn't be further from the truth. And if you stick to yourself and you don't do anything with it, Nishkefelach, but you start teaching that and you start leading the masses astray, you know how far off you can go? You could be the founder of Christianity because of that mistake. Look how far you went. with enormous talent. He was one of the Gedolei Tanoim. And look how far wrong he went. And now he led the masses astray. Look what the world went through as a result of his errors in judgment, because he wasn't listening to his Rebbe. We want that individualism. We want Rebbe Akiva and Reb Taf and Rebbe Shmuel, and they all disagree and they're arguing. But at the end of the day, it's all Torah tuned. It all comes together. Click. Yes. That's the vault. Torah tuned individuality. Not so posh.